Oklahoma, but we live right now in Branson, Missouri, and enjoying it. Somebody asked me, when are we going back to Burma? It'll be the middle of November, and we'll be there for the next 3 months after that. And we've been married for 28 years, right? And, well, for the first, I guess, 8 years ago, I left a career job. I worked for American Airlines in Tulsa as a mechanic, as an aircraft mechanic. And I left that job, and that's when life really started for us. So it's been a joy ever since. And today, what I want to share with you is going to be our life, literally our life and our ministry. And they intersect. There's no separation really in it anymore. But it's what we've done. And as Pastor Mark said about the intersection thing, man, you guys, Heritage, Pastor Mark, you and Pam and Heritage, y'all have put a lot into this, what you're going to see today. This church has sown into us, and they've sown big, and they've been consistent. And you can't do what we do without partners and without fellowship and those kind of things. And so when we talk about this, you take credit for this because it's what you've done. One thing that I did that I, and again, this is your fault. Pastor Mark and I, we took a ride up to the chicken ranch up there in Coleman. That's right. I can't ever remember the name of it. We went up to Coleman and to look at the chicken farm for obvious reasons you'll soon understand. And he told me, he looked at me and he said, Rick, you need to write a book. And I'm like, Brother Mark, I said, I barely get a chance to write a newsletter, let alone a book. But today I got my first book out. So, and you know, of course, being from Oklahoma, you got to write on your level. So it's a children's book. So they're back at the table. I always wanted to do that, but I never thought it'd be a children's book. So praise the Lord. So anyway, and I gave you one because you're the one inspired it, but I want to give one to the children's church too. So anyway, we're happy to do it. I will say we got the second one in process right now too. So, and this is a true story. Let me say that. So Angie has been no shortage of source material with her and her crazy animal stuff. And you can read about it in this. If you think you liked her when you met her, you'll love her after these, man, because it's crazy. And every time it just gets crazier and crazier. So if you love animals, you'll love her. So praise the Lord. So let me get into this. One of the first things we need to make clear is where we're at in the world. So the light blue country is Myanmar. It's also called Burma. It changed names about, 20 years ago or so. Went straight up with the name. And right between I like to say it like this. We're smack dab in the middle of the 1040 window. Now, where we're at, we're in the top star in a town called Kalamio. That's one of our campuses. And it's our main campus. But we're getting ready to expand down into the south into a town by Yangon, which is the capital city. But all those red stars are significant because they're very strategic, because we put some kind of ministry work in all those. And every one of those stars are the entry port into the next country. So I just want you to understand that we're not just trying to reach the people in Myanmar. We're trying to expand out of that. And we finally have hit stride with what we want to do. And we are momentarily experiencing technical difficulties. So anyway, I don't know if you can read this. I should have brought my glasses, but I did not. So anyway, let me tell you what. This is the current situation in the country we're at. They are in the middle of a civil war. This has been going on for 4 years, and these are some of the facts that are going on with them right now. There's 2.8 million people displaced. Actually, more than that. These numbers are very conservative. There's 70-plus thousand homes that have been burned, and we've reaped a bunch of people from that. There's 8 million children who have no access to education because all the public school teachers walked off their job. They refused to work for the dictatorship government. They've had a 70% decline in state college enrollment. And they have about 16.6 million people in need of some type of humanitarian aid. 17,000 people have been put into jail. And 6,000 plus civilian deaths in the past 3 years. That's number significantly higher now. But there's some things that we can add to that. Now they're doing what they call forced conscription. So if you're a male between 18 and 35, and if the military walks into any group where you're at, they will arrest you at that point. And from that point, you're now serving in the military. No questions asked. Just you're there. And it's interesting, but and sad at the same time. So I want to show you just kind of what it's like when we land and how things look. Just some brief pictures. And this is the airport we land in. It's one of those you walk in the front, walk out the back, and when you walk out, you see a bunker, a machine gun nest right there in front of the airport, the public airport, and that's always interesting and inviting. And then all the police, they're loaded, man. They are packing, and they're packing heavy, and that's just the way it is. And then when we're going down the roads, this is the military. They block off the road, and they do a forced search, so they can do this anywhere, anytime. And when they do a forced search, that means they want to see your. If they ask for your wallet, you got to give them your wallet. They want to look in your wife's purse. They want to look at your cell phone. They're going to open that. And imagine this in a third world. They even know how to open it up and read. They'll have somebody there that can read English for us. That can read your text messages. And they'll, depending on who you are and what you are, is what they do. And so you have options. You know, like I said, somebody asked me, why don't you just refuse or do that? I could do that. As an American, I could absolutely do that. But anybody that's been on a mission field, that just puts the team you're with, the people that live there, in jeopardy if you do that, because they won't do anything to you, but they'll take it out on them or their family or both. So that's kind of what we deal with on that. Sand in the road, no big deal, those bags, but they do that because they like to sandbag their homes because of bullets and machine gun fire, and they like to do it. And I texted you a couple times with messages, hey, pray for us. Because they get in these machine gun fights at night around the hotel and stuff like that. And it's, it's kind of, yeah, no. So, yeah, she's making a movie reference. If you know what it's talking about. So anyway, just going on. And so anyway, this is outside our hotel. There's a military base right next to our hotel. So they fire these artillery cannons all the time, day and night. And they're so close to our hotel. When the wind blows just right, you can smell the gunpowder off of after it's fired. And this last year, they found some new toys, and they bought some missiles from the Russians. And those things are wicked when they take off, man. And they shot those too. So they're firing them up into an area they're trying to take back. People say, who's fighting who? It's the Burmese military against everybody else. And what they did is they didn't like the way an election went, so they just overthrew everything and took over everything. So they're not – two good things about that is the fact the Burmese military has never fought a multi-fronted war, and they've never had resistance like this. So there is hope. So – that's one thing that we need as a number one prayer request. We need this war to stop. And in spite of all this, people say, well, why do you go if it's so bad and it's like that? And then, it's like when I was at ORU, Oral Roberts said, we're supposed to be the light. We're supposed to be salt and light. My pastor, Keith Moore, said that the safest place on earth is the perfect will of God. And we know we're supposed to be there. So, what are you going to do? You've got a call. You've got a mandate. So that's where you're at. And that's why we're there. But, he said, go where my word is not known, where my healing power is not seen. He said, and in that, do what I, and your work will exceed mine. And so that's what we're doing. We're exceeding that work, and we're being salt and light in a place that really needs Jesus. Because this country is 95% Buddhist, and it's the size of the state of Texas. And so there's 55 million people there. And so that means 9 out of 10 people don't know Jesus, and we are still plowing into fields where people have never heard his name. So this is amazing, even in this day and age with the communication levels we have. You think everybody would have heard and everybody would know, and they don't. And it's amazing. So in spite of all of that stuff, being the light, God has blessed our ministry. He's opened doors that nobody can deny. We know that this is him and what he's done, and now I'm going to show you what he's been doing. And this is what you've been sowing into. Now, I showed Pastor Mark the video earlier of the campus, and this looks a little different than it did the one video you saw. But anyway, this is our campus. It's 7 acres. It's located in Calameo. And one of the interesting things I point out in this picture is you see all those little houses up around there, and they're not there. It's not like that anymore. Now they're... This is taken about a year ago, and now they're right around on the outside of our walls. So the whole town is encroaching near our campus, which makes it extremely easy for us to minister. And so it gives us a lot more influence, and we're doing everything we can to yield that influence. So one of the things we did, we have a farming operation, and we needed a place to put our implements, our tools, our rice, and so we built a rice barn, and that's what this basically is. And one of the things we like about our rice barn is that, because amen, that's a big deal. It's a big deal. And now I'll show you these pictures, because then you get an idea how big this building is. And so anyway, it's super nice, and we're thankful we have it. And so our campus, now that we have all these things going on the campus, we've got to have somebody there to take care of it. So we built a place for our caretaker, our director. He's really our country director, where he has a place to live with his family. So they're out there 24/7 taking care of everything we got. The good thing about this house is that the upstairs of it, we can rent out, use it as a hotel, motel. Or if we have guest ministers come in from there or somewhere else, we can house them there on campus, and it helps out a lot. And we love this building because, praise the Lord, and we're thankful for that. So then we go to this is the second building we ever put on the campus. This was way early when we first, this was the second building, third building, because we put the lavatories in. But this building is our main building. It's the Legacy Learning building, and so all of our training and ministry and schooling and all that stuff happens in this building. Our sewing school, all that stuff happens in this, and so we're very thankful for it. It's 7,500 square feet, and it's awesome because that. So we're thankful for all that. Last week I was in a place. I was actually in my hometown, at a church where a lot of people knew me when I was a little kid. And I went into this depth about talking about you never know who you're influencing and what these kids are going to do when they get older. And because I was with these people who knew me back in the day, I had this picture to show them. And that's, man, that dude right there is sharp, man. That guy's got it going on. And he thinks he's something else, too, I'll tell you. He had no idea that showing that, that's my first show pig that I ever had. I was 14 years old. I was in FFA, and I mean, I was loving doing this. I did this for the next 4 years in high school, and after I left high school at 18, I went in the Air Force, and from then on, it was military and jets and aircraft mechanics and all that. I didn't see another pig except the ones we were eating, and I never had anything to do with that. Until about 4 years ago, until we started doing this. And so one of the things we've come to realize that in Burma, the economy, pork and rice are the two biggest commodities traded there. And it's the two biggest things that are used. So the Lord put the idea in my heart to have our own farrowing operation. So we had to have a building for that. And so this is our farrowing house. And phase one is completed. So we're thankful for that. Well, with every good farrowing house, we had to put another water well to go with that. So this water well is strictly, most water wells you hear about in the world are done for people. These are done strictly for animals. And so when we start bringing these pigs and different things in, we're going to need water there on the campus for them. Actually, this is the third water well we've put on our campus. So one of these days, we're going to figure out how to connect all of them, put a tower or a tank on there down the road. But we like that water well, too, because, hey, praise the Lord. Then we had to, if you're going to have that, if you got to have water, you got to have septic. And so then we had to have a septic to get rid of waste. We had to have drains put in the floor. The cool thing I'll show you about these things is because this drain, these covers, are all custom made. Everything that you see, just almost everything you'll see that we do is custom made because you can't find it. We looked for 2 years to find these farrowing crates. And we'll put the sows in. They're birthing for them. And so we finally found somebody there in Myanmar. I had people here that offered to buy them and ship them to us, but you can't get them through customs. I had all kinds of things we could have worked. But we finally found somebody who was going out of business in Yangon who had a big farrowing operation, and they wanted to sell those. And because we were so nice and we were so good and they loved us, they just only marked the price up 25% on all of it. So special foreigner price just for us. So anyway, that's farrowing crates. So there's another picture of them. And I have a, so anyway, as we expanded out this farrowing operation, this barn, we had to have gestation pens. So we had to have all that custom made too. And had our, we got a welder that's just awesome. He'd be awesome here. We couldn't go down and buy the welded wire, so he had to buy the rod and weld it together for himself, for us. So he made, I showed him a picture of what I wanted, what we would go down to Southern Ag or somewhere and buy. They don't have anything like that around there, so we made our own. And so as we did with everything in that building, so except for the farrowing crates. So just checking out another one. We've got good pins and everything now. But if you wonder what a farrowing crate looks like and how it's used, that's what they're used. That's what it'll look like when it's in full-blown operation. That's what we hope to see in about, probably in about 5 months. We hope to see two of those full of pigs like this. And so that's our whole thing. And so with this, this is phase two. We have everything in place, phase two, to be done. All we lack now is putting the electrical and the water in, connecting the well. We've already got the tower built for it to put the tanks up. So all we have to do is hook that stuff up. I'm told them to wait until I got there because I wanted to make sure. We have every week, we have at least 20 people come out to look at this because they've never seen anything like it. They've never seen it. So we have tour groups coming to look at our hog barn. So that's what they're looking at. But anyway, I was going to go into some of this, but I'll save this for another time. But this Jehovah Jireh Farms is our swine operation. And the whole reason we want to do this is because we want to raise our own pigs, because this is just the Reader's Digest condensed version. This is exactly why we do this. We raise these pigs. That sow has, say, an average of 10 pigs. On 10 pigs, we can sell those for at least $100 a piece if we feed them to 100 pounds. If we sell that, that's $1,000. If we do her twice a year, that's $2,000. If we do two sows like that, that's $4,000. Now, I've been told conservatively by Oklahoma State University and the College of the Ozarks, their herd managers, that we should be able to do more pigs than that. But the thing is, we're doing this to earn income from those. I mean, that's $4,000 a year. But that $4,000 is not for us to put in our pocket. What it does is it goes back in to our missions operation. So what we can do is once we set up a pasture buy the building and set up everything we need for them to do our missions work, we can fund that pastor monthly. We can support him and her, his wife, his family. It takes about $550 a month to take care of one pastor and his family. Because you're talking about people that are, there's no transfer growth. This is straight up evangelism. And you're not talking about taking people from the Baptist church or the Methodist church. You're talking about people that are Buddhist coming to Christ. And when it takes time for them to learn and understand how to do things, how to give and all that to support their pastors. So, and it usually takes on an average in Myanmar 5 to 7 years. And so I told our guys, I said, we're not going to do that. I said, I don't know what you're used to, but we're not going to do it that way. We're going to do this because what happens is when we do it like this, this takes everything out of the loop. We're in control of what we're doing. And by us doing that, we're not having to use money. We're not having to ask money. We can keep on investing and building into asset-driven stuff. We can buy the land, put the building on it, and do all those kind of things. And these pastors will have a solid place to minister from. Because if you don't own it, you don't control it there. Because they can cancel your lease. They can raise the rates. They can do whatever they want. But so this is our chart. This is our whole plan. This is the cartoon form of our plan. This is vertical integration, which basically means in layman's terms, we control every aspect of the operation. So we already have our farming operation. We'll take that. We'll mix our own feed. We'll feed our own pigs. We'll sell those pigs at market weight. And we'll start all over with the farrowing process. When we take the profit from that, it goes to the church that we've set up and to the pastor to keep him out in the, because you know, think about this. You put a pastor now, and I'm saying this from experience because we've tried this on the cheap and it don't work. It don't work. We put that pastor out there. If he's got to worry about if he's got medicine for his kids, if they get sick, if he's got to worry about food, if he's got to worry about water, if he got to worry about gasoline to run his motorbike, he can't focus on what he's there for because he's too worried or he's thinking about going to get another job. And we need that guy out there to be the evangelist that he's been called to be. And so we have got a team that's set up to go into this first place that is just dynamite. And I can hardly wait to see what they're going to do when that happens. I'll show you some more about that in just a second, but I want to talk about our Legacy Learning Center. So Legacy Learning is our sewing school in all our educational functions of our ministry. That ain't coming up. It just went blank. Not yet. Not yet. It's showing them on the iPad. But anyway, we take on our Legacy Learning Center, we take girls that are various different ages. The youngest one we've ever had, she's been 13. And we've taken some ladies that have been in their 40s. And we bring them into this school. It's a first come, first serve. We don't care what your background is or what you do, what religion you are. Nothing. It's totally whatever you want to do. We've even had handicapped girls come. And so we bring them in. We teach them how to sew. We teach them how to manage money. And we teach them business principles and ethics. So when they come in, most of them, I would say most, all of them when they leave are Christians when they go. And so this ministry has been supported by the partners, and so they don't have to pay anything to learn. I haven't. And so anyway, this is them last year. We were at a place, and they're holding their new sewing machines that we got for the school, donated to the school. Pretty excited about that. They were very excited to get some new machines to work with. And so everything is paid for and done. In fact, they are so good, the shirt I'm wearing today is one that they made. So anyway, they want me to look good when I'm out here talking about them. So I said, well, you better make a good one. They made me a brown one, and I would wore it, but I looked like a UPS driver when I got in on. So anyway, if I wear some khaki pants, definitely could be faking a job there. So anyway, but yeah, they make the stuff, they make shirts, they made me several of them to wear. And so anyway, this is them training. Like I say, they draw their own patterns. They do all their own stuff. We just got the new tile on the floor for the building. That was 7,500 square foot of tile, man. And I mean, that was it changed the whole look of the whole place, man. So we got all that new stuff going on there. So we were very thankful for all of that. And so, again, just seeing them train. This was our graduation ceremony last year. This little girl, in spite of all of that stuff that's going on, she never missed a day of training. So we're rewarding her with that. That's why that big old smile's on her face. And so she's pretty excited about that. And these are our girls that graduated last year in January. So biggest class we'd ever had graduate. And every year, for every girl you see there, we turn at least two down because we don't have the capacity to do that, to train. But those certificates they're holding are not just some piece of paper that we gave them. They are certified from the government. And one of the reasons we've been able to do that, even with all the chaos that's going on. When COVID was going on, we made masks for the nursing school, the government nursing school, and we took 200 masks up there and donated them. When my director was there, the government official questioned him why he was there. He was really getting in his business. Why are you here? What are you doing? What's going on? And he told him, hey, we just made these masks. Our sewing school made these masks, and we just wanted to donate them here to the school. And so the government official started scratching his head. He said, can you do more of these? And he said, yeah, we can. He said, but we'd need help with the fabric and thread and everything. And he said, well, if we supplied all that, could you make more? And so he says, yeah, we can do that. So just to put it down simply, the Buddhist nation of Myanmar commissioned our little Christian sewing school to make masks for the whole country. And so we went into full operation with that. So that has yielded that seal that's on our certificate that certifies them as, you know, what they can do. So now they can go get a job anywhere with that certificate. And we're thankful for that. I want to show you, I want to introduce you to one of the girls in our school. One of the girls in our school, this is her, and she's pretty special.
We are here in Nathaniel's home, where she lives with her parents. She was one of the first students to come to the Legacy Learning Center with a disability. She's been unable to walk since the age of 4, but that has never stopped her determination. All she needed was an opportunity. And thanks to the partners of Triumphant Ministries International, she was able to attend our sewing school and graduated first in her class. Andy and I were moved by her enthusiasm, and we wanted to give her something that would make her more independent. And we had this motorbike specially made for her. She started her business with no customers and one machine. She began to advertise, first by sewing for her village and then spreading out to the surrounding areas. While she was doing this, she was saving her money to buy more equipment and machines. Since beginning her school, she has also started her own online business, where she's selling cosmetics and clothing. Never let anything hold her back from helping her family. She is amazing, and another life changed forever.
That's what helps. If everybody did what she did, man, it would be awesome. And she's just so good. And she just had her first child. So she got married and she got a baby now too. So it's amazing. Interesting to know when we first met her, she would drag herself on the ground with her elbows like a soldier. And one of the first things that she made when she made her money, she put her money back. One of the first things that she bought for her family was she had this polished concrete put on the floor where she could get around easier, because she was on the dirt before that. And so she's quite a young lady. This is our current class, and I just show that to you because up in the top left, I guess, is our first male student that's ever come to the school. So we'll see how that's going to work. I can't wait to meet him. So anyway, but like I said, first come, first serve. We've never had a guy asked to come. He's the first one that's ever asked. So it kind of kind of interesting. These guys have no problem finding a job after they leave here, though. This is put a new addition onto the side of the Legacy Building where they have a place to park their motorbikes and stuff out of the rain and stuff. And then we come back to Angie's house, which was one of our first projects we ever did. And that building was originally our orphanage. And all of our children aged out of our orphanage. And about the same time, we were thinking, what should we do with this building? And then we started getting people like this. These are refugees from the villages that have been burned. And they come to our campus and they said, hey, do you have any place we could stay? And I'm like, well, matter of fact, we do now. And so we started taking refugees in from the war. And so we had like, I think, five or six families that would come and have stayed with us during this time. Now, unfortunately, we've had to do some modifications. And so now Angie's house is kind of looking like that. And actually looks like this. So that's what it looks like right now. So we took the roof off of that, and we're going to take and add a second floor to that because now we've got another issue that we need to deal with. These are good things to have. These are good problems to have. So we're having so many students come to our campus that we need student housing. So we're going to add a second floor to this building, and we're going to turn it into a dormitory. And so that's the next. Of course, you notice that doesn't say – that doesn't say paid in full. So I'm just going to point that out. So here, then we go to our School of the Harvesters, which all of our stuff works together. School of the Harvesters is something we've done in seminar form for the last few years, but now we're full blown into this thing, and this is our School of the Harvesters. I'm teaching, if you see that TV, that screen, we're teaching online there, online and in person. And I personally teach Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday from 9 p.m. to 12:30 a.m. And so I'm teaching my favorite class that I teach, and I want you to listen to this now, is English as a Second Language. All them people are going to sound like me when we get done with this. They'll know how to say y'all and grits and all the good things that we like to do. So it is quite entertaining. That's the response I get from everybody. So I can't be that bad. Anyway, but it is fun. I enjoy that. We're teaching Authority of the Believer, the Art of Prayer, Holy Spirit. We're going in all these classes. We just started, we've been going for 10, 12 weeks now. And it has been a thing. I also want to point out that all those desks were custom made because we couldn't find any. We took us a long while to find the chairs. Then we had the TV and all that stuff. We were able to get everything for that. And so it's just been it's been awesome to get these things going. So School of the Harvesters does things like this. We go out different places looking for service projects. Find these steps here looking like that. Make them look like this. 104-year-old man lives in that house. You know, so people see us out in the community doing things like that. Eventually, they want to know why you're there and who you are. What are you doing? You know, they start asking questions. Then you get invited to these Buddhist orphanages. All these kids here in this Buddhist orphanage are praying the prayer of salvation. Over 50 of them. Yeah, there you go. Then you get invited to places like this Bible college here. And they want you to lay hands on everybody in there. So, you know, all their students. And so then we go to we have one church there in this town called Harvest Church. And this is 23 of our youth that are receiving the baptism in the Holy Ghost. I can say that here, can I, Pastor Mark? Hallelujah. Oh. Then, because Angie and I are the only two people that look like us or anybody in this room, we're the only two people that look like anybody in this room. We're out there in the street, and we stand out like a sore thumb. So not just because of size, but because of the way we look, you know. And so we're out there, and this guy pulls up, and he says, hey, are you from America? And I'm like, yeah, we are. And so he's like, will you come to my school and talk to my students? And I'm like, we'll be glad to. What do you want us to talk about? Anything you want to talk about? Can we talk about Jesus? Oh, yes, come. So we're sitting there talking to this public school. Or no, this is a private school about Jesus. So that gets you into places like that. Now, this is what we're excited. School of the Harvest, this is on our campus. I show you this because I told you about how that all those houses are encroaching on us, that whole village area. So what we do is we take our students, we go out on a Friday afternoon with 450 flyers. We pass them out to the whole village. We come back on Saturday morning. We have almost 1,200 people show up to our campus. We know it's 1,200 because we're handing out tickets because we're going to give away one of these things. And so actually we gave away two and probably 16 or 17 other prizes. And so, but we have them come out. We play games. We have watermelon eating contest. We do all those kind of things. And then we talk about Jesus. We go through the whole salvation story with skits and drama. And out of that 1,200, I can tell you there's over 800 people who gave their life to Jesus that day. So we're thankful for that. That kind of stuff gets you invited to the deaf school. So you go to the deaf school, never done that before. So we're looking for folks to come help us clean that place out. And so anyway, we just take some, you know, paper and pencils for them to work with while they're, you know, for their, and this was at Christmas time. So they loved having us there. You know, deaf people, when they cheer or clap, they do this. And so that's what they're doing. They're thanking us for that. So last year, I mean, going to these orphanages, we're still doing the same thing we used to do with orphans. We're going in there giving them food, towels, hygiene packs, you know, with combs and different things like that, food packs and sports equipment. So we keep going in there doing all those kind of things. And last year, it was over 1,000 orphans we served during that Christmas season. So going in those orphanages, here again, handing this Buddhist orphanage, giving her some combs and towels, apples, things like that. But then one of the things we've shifted a little bit, and maybe you can appreciate this, but we're going into these homes now. Well, let me go back. We go into these homes now. These are Buddhists that have never had a foreigner come into their home. And so we're going in there with things. We're taking like they got, see those buckets? Practical things, giving a bucket, and in that bucket it'll have eggs, it'll have some Ovaltine, and it might have some other stuff in it like that, just stuff, you know. And we're not going there empty-handed. We got a little bait with us. So we're going in. These people are Buddhist. They never had a foreigner come into their house. So I told Angie, this is our Jehovah Witness program. Going in there, not talking about Jesus, not talking about anything, just meeting folks, just letting them know, hey, we're here, we're nice, we're not going to bite you, we're not doing, you know, we're just trying to make acquaintances. And so they are thrilled to have us. And so anyway, this lady here, she starts crying. She's like, why do you come to my house? You give me an umbrella. Why do you come? And I said, because Jesus loves you and he has not forgot about you. And she just couldn't believe that we would come all the way from America to see her. And so anyway, then we go into this lady's home, give her the same thing, Buddhist lady. And so I think we visited 21 different families on this little run here with this. And so I can tell you that we must have did okay because they all invited us to come back. So we ate pretty good going into these places too. I'll say that. I didn't turn that down. So anyway, we do all that, go into these places. Like I said, man, we're going in there for influence because our whole goal is for them to invite their family, come meet these guys, you know, and the more we get to know them, the more they get to know us, the more that we'll be able to do and pursue that way. So it's all strategic. And so then we get into our farming operation, which is kind of what I was showing you earlier. And I think I might have seen these pictures, but anyhow, this is our Jehovah Jireh One farm. It's 5.5 acres. I remember when I was over there, a guy came up and said, would you like to buy a rice farm? And I'm like, well, I never even thought about buying a rice farm. We would go over there. We'd buy tons of rice every Christmas season to give to these orphanages. And it's a lot of budget for that. And he said, So I'm thinking, Lord, can we do that? And he's like, why not? So we bought Jehovah Jireh One, 5.5 acres. And I got to thinking, hey, that's pretty good. So then we got Jehovah Jireh Two, which is six and a half acres. And so it's our highest yielding farm and we're thrilled about that. And so then we went and got Jehovah Jireh Three. And so that's 12.5 acres. And so we're moving on. So every year we're bringing about three trucks like this full of rice into our barn. And the barn I showed you earlier that we built. And so then when we stack it in there, Pastor Mark's got one of those white bags in his office. That's what we donate. That's rice we donate. The yellow bags are what we use for ourselves, but that's just a little bit. So anyway, when we start this whole project, unloading these things, I'm looking at them and I'm like, they're laying these bamboo poles down on the floor. And I'm like, what are y'all doing? And they're like, we're going to stack this rice off. You ain't stacking my rice on that floor on them bamboo poles. So I will tell you that Triumphant Ministries and Rick Johnston holds the sole patent for a pallet in the nation of Myanmar. They did not know what a pallet was. And they think I am a stinking genius. Give me some 1x4s. Get me a couple 2x4s. I'm going to show you boys something here. We're going to make this. I'm like, God, thank you. You know? So yeah, we developed the whole pallet system for them. But anyway, so then we come back and we do the, donate our rice here to the, this is going to an orphanage. This rice is going to a Buddhist, this is going to a Bible college. This rice is going to another orphanage. So I just want you to see that this is going to these good things like this, to people like that. But the whole point in all this is as we donate stuff is to yield influence. Everything we're doing, everything we're about there is for influence, to get people to ask us, to talk to us, to engage us. And so you know you're doing pretty good when they start showing up at your door. Now, that's a Buddhist monk. And that guy come and he wanted some rice for his 200 kids in his orphanage. So we loaded him up. And so when you got these people that run these Buddhist monasteries coming and asking you for stuff, and like I said, that rice bag has John 3:16 on it in Burmese. So they know what they're getting. They know where they're getting it from. And so we've been privileged to go into the monastery training centers where they're training other ones that are going to have their own monasteries. And so the whole thing about this whole farming operation is to invest into that. So we're going into their lives and we're getting invading into their world, you know, and getting in. Because I can tell you this much, and I've thought about how to say this. Signs and wonders are awesome, man. I mean, it's awesome. But how do you get into the position to do a sign and a wonder if you don't get the door open? People are hungry. I remember Terry Law saying one time they were handing out Bibles over in the Soviet Union, and somebody told him, he said, "We can't eat your Bible." I never will forget that. And he said, so that's when they started doing their compassion things, giving it. And a lot of people, there's different schools of thought on that. But I can tell you what I've seen, that when they start coming to your door and start asking you for stuff, this guy let us go out to his orphanage with 200 kids in it to teach English and to preach the gospel to them. We even were able to distribute Bibles to that whole orphanage. Now, that's a win-win-win, you know. And that's all because we have our own rice. That's the thing about vertical integration. We don't ever have to buy another bag of rice ever. When you donate into that, let's put it like this. Let's put it in terms. If you invest into that land, that is the gift that keeps on giving and giving and giving and giving. After we're all gone with Jesus, that's still going to produce in rice. You can't beat a deal like that. You cannot beat a deal like that. So we're thankful for that. We're thankful God's allowing us the privilege to do it. Along with the rice, along with the pigs, we got our mango orchard going up. We got our sugar cane field going in. Of course, that was tile and more tile, I think. Yeah. So anyway, we got all that. We got the sugar cane, mango, banana, rice. And all that stuff is happening for us right now. So we're growing all that. And I missed it. This is bananas, and in the foreground is pineapple. So we're growing all that on our campus right now, testing it out, seeing what we can do. And all that stuff is not only stuff we can use to eat, but it's stuff we can sell. So, I mean, that's everything is to try to invest into that to where we're having income producing, income, what do they say, missions, income generating things on our campus. Now, the good thing about that is that now we're going to stretch our tent a little bit. So we bought another 2 acres in another place. I told you it's over by Yangon. There's a 2 acre campus there, and it's Shwepita in the town of Shwepita. That means I'm supposed to stop. Can I have 5 more minutes? Okay. So 5 more minutes. So anyway, we bought this campus over in Shwepita, and so we're thankful for that because of this. So let me tell you, that land is, my pastor Keith Moore says, better than being being pre-funded is better than being pre-approved. And so we're pre-funded on this. We got the campus. The land is paid for. We've got all the money to put the wall up around it. We even had another ministry give us money for the water well. So that's three big things right there off the plate. So now everything we have going to this campus goes into the building project. So that, and I was telling you about the land. So this is Jehovah Jireh 2. And we had the farmer from it. He come and he sold us 2 more acres. So it's actually 8.5 acres now. And we just bought that on a handshake and sent him the money later, you know, and he did all that. So one of the other big things, we're custom building everything. Went out and bought a truck axle while we're there, real spiritual stuff, and burying that thing in the ground and getting ready for our playground. So we're improving our playground. And then we had for that truck axle, we had to make this merry-go-round. So we made that and put it on. And so now this is what that looks like. And so not only that, but it's covered. That roof is the one that come off of Angie's house because we didn't want to put it back on the old roof, back on a new building. So we used the old one to put on top of that. We vented it, and we also added 400 square feet to that so the kids have place. So we're going to add a slide, a climb toy. We're going to have some ping pong tables and stuff like that out underneath that. And then Pastor Mark, we're going to come back and ask for a first aid center from y'all. All them kids. Angie said when we put those swings up, the chain was too close. She said the chain's too close to the pole. She said those kids are going to hit themselves on that pole. I said they won't do it but one time, Angie. Just once. They won't do it again. So then we come back and we do this. This is our pavilion project. And the pavilion is going to go behind the big building that we had, the three-story building. So this pavilion is another game changer. So we take that and we'll just kind of show you what it looks like, where it's going to be. It's 9,000 square feet. So church picnics, banquets, graduation ceremonies. But the cool thing is if we get the thing astroturfed, we can rent it out by the hour to local soccer teams and stuff like that to train on. And that's the whole purpose. That's why we went so big with it. So we not only serve all our needs, but it'll take care of that. So that's kind of in process. And this is what it looks like right now. The foundation is completely finished. So we're waiting for the red steel to come. Red steel was on the way coming to us, but because the military decided they wanted to blow up a bridge, now the bridge is gone. So they got all the truck drivers on both sides. They've commandeered them, and they're now they're bridge builders. So it's a terrible thing. But it's good because, you know, that, you know, they're not a paid in full thing on it either. So we're going to wait a little bit for that. It did us right. Are you going to get that back on? Or is it okay? I'm almost done. As long as y'all ain't going to sleep, I'm good. So anyway, that's the foundation. It's finished. When we were coming out of the country, you know, there's a scripture talks about you'll be placed before kings and all that kind of stuff. So we had the United States ambassador to Myanmar, asked to visit with us. She summoned us, really, me and Angie, to come to the embassy. So we got to go to the inner court, man. I mean, we were there with her. And the cool thing about it is she wants us to come back when we come, when we go back in November. She wants to see us again. So I hope we're doing something right when people like that start asking to see you, or they heard about what you're doing. So anyway, or just maybe because we're so crazy and we're out in that area. So I don't know. But anyway, this is when we took that campus, over, we asked the, this is the guy that owned that property. And this guy, he is a wealthy guy. And we asked him, would he finance our purchase? And they don't do that there. There's nobody. They want all that money right now, right when you do it. And he wasn't going to do it. I mean, he said he wasn't going to do it. He told me, he said, I would never do this for anybody, but I believe you're going to do what you say, and I'll do it for you. So he carried that note for a year. And so we ended up, this is the final payment of that. So he gives me the title to it, and he gets a bag of cash. And so we're both happy. And so anyway, he said he'd never do that, never do it again. So what do you do with somebody like that? You invite him out to your campus 7 years later, feed him a big meal, and tell him what you want to do. So we're getting ready to have a banquet in Tulsa, in Owosso, for called our 20 for 20 banquet. 20 years in ministry for us, October the 5th. 20 acres we need to get that vertical integration thing fully integrated. And with that, we asked him, would he finance that 20 acres for us? And he said he would. So this, you'll see this coming up pretty soon. That I already had the sign made. So I'm calling things that be not as though they are, you know? And so that's it. But man, praise the Lord. So I want to thank you guys for everything you've done. Man, you guys are invested, partnered, whatever you want to call it, shareholders, whatever you want to call it with us over there. This church, your pastors have been, man, nothing but, I'm so glad I got in that truck and we went to see them chickens. That was awesome. And man, I don't know if thank you is enough to say to you all, but I mean, that's the best I can do is thank you. And I just tell you that none of this stuff happens without people here. You cannot do it. You were quoting scriptures, and I still keep thinking back to the one where it says that, hey, how do they go if they're not sent? And if they're sent, then how do you keep them out there? You know, Angie, when we graduated from Rhema Bible Training Center way back in the day, she's like, let's sell everything we got and go to the mission field. I looked at her and I said, you are out of your mind. I said, how are we going to stay out there? And faith was weak. Spirit was willing, but the faith was weak. And I'm like, but you know what? We hit the ground running. And I'm telling you, when I left that job there at American Airlines, I think that was the happiest time of my life, man, because all of this stuff has happened since we left there. And that's in the last 7.5 years, all of these things have developed because of that one decision and to do it. And God, we've seen his hand move. We've seen things happen, and we are thankful for all of it. So praise God. I got to stop, man. I'm going to start preaching. Thank you all. Thank you all so much. Love you, brother.
Amen. He knows that we're not Hugo First Christian Church. That's the church that, stand with me this morning. That's the church that he was at, that was where he grew up, that Hugo First Christian Church. So anyway, praise God. Wow. So this is what I've been saying, and I think they understand it now. I said, I don't just like what they do. I like how they're doing it. Do you understand better now what I mean when I say it's not just what they're doing, it's how they're doing it? Amen. And so the self-sustaining factors in all of this to me are nothing short of brilliant. And so you take a man with a business, you know, he and Angie have a business mind and a ministry mind. What do you say all the time, Donald? It's business. Amen. Jesus said, Father's business. Amen. So you take ministry and business and making a difference in the world. Praise God. So thank you, Jesus. So they have some merchandise back there. Now, I had to tell a few folks, we will like stack shirts up back there and give them away. So I noticed some folks walking up there, oh, you say. So that is for sale. Amen. If you would like to purchase some of that. So don't just help yourself to it. But Father, you're good to us. We thank you for Rick and Angie. Thank you, Father, for the privilege and honor it is to be associated with them, to partner with them in what you're doing. Lord, in Burma. Father, I thank you for protection for them and for all that are involved in the work of Triumphant Ministries there. I thank you, Father, for our president, and he has resolved many wars, 7 and counting, Lord, in our world. And perhaps, Father, you can use his influence to settle this conflict in Burma, Lord, so that your furtherance of your gospel would not be hindered. And Lord, I thank you for every need paid for in advance. I thank you, Father, for the vision. It's a big vision. And Lord, I thank you that it is pre-funded by your kingdom and by the different people, Lord, like us and many others, other churches, Father, that are coming alongside and helping support this great work. Lord, thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your kindness to us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God.